This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
8 minutes after 11, there is a group, or there are groups, human rights groups and human rights lawyers who have been preparing a class action lawsuit against Uber South Africa. They're petitioning the courts to have the drivers recognized as employees, which will entitle them to compensation for overtime and holiday pay. A South African firm is taking on the case in partnership with a UK-based law firm, and that's what we'll be talking about in this segment, to dive into the matter and look at this particular class action and its chances of success, as well as the merits of the case. We're joined by Vatuka Mbelengwa, who's the spokesperson of the South African E-Hailing Association. Vatuka, good morning to you, and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We are also joined by Richard Miran, who is head of international at Lee Day Solicitors, or Lee Day Law Firm, as we prefer to call them in this country. Rich, good morning to you. Welcome to South Africa and Power FM.
Thank you. Good morning, Tabisa.
Good morning. Let me start with you, Richard, in fact, because it's important, because in the UK, there was a similar incident, and probably get a sense of your involvement in this matter in South Africa, if you can just give us perspective on those two areas there.
Yes, we've been involved in a case for UK drivers since 2016, which has succeeded all the way through the court system. From the lowest court right up until the Supreme Court decision last week. And the issue has been whether Uber drivers are entitled to rights as workers' employees, or, as Uber contends, that Uber drivers are simply independent contractors for whom Uber acts as an agent. And the courts throughout have resoundingly confirmed that drivers are entitled to employment rights because they are not independent contractors, that for a whole series of reasons they are working for Uber, not the other way around, and therefore they should be entitled to holiday pay and overtime pay in particular. And our understanding is that the relevant South African legislation, which is the Labour Relations Act, defines employees in very similar, almost identical terms to the UK legislation. And given that the modus operandi of Uber in South Africa, again, is very, very similar, almost the same as in the UK, it seems logical, therefore, that South African workers, South African drivers, should be entitled to rights as employees under the legislation in South Africa, and therefore should be able to claim holiday pay and overtime, I mean, going back for the past 3 years and going forwards too. So that's the assessment. We are assisting South African lawyers, Mbuyisa Mulile, which is a firm we've been working with over the last 20 years on a variety of human rights cases. We're helping them with this class action for South African Uber drivers.
So it's a pretty winnable case in terms of the prospects for Uber drivers in South Africa from where you're sitting.
We think it's a very strong case for the reasons that I've mentioned. I should add that in addition to the cases in the UK, cases have been successfully brought by Uber drivers in France, Switzerland, Ontario in Canada, and North Carolina in the US. So this is a pattern that's emerging. And, you know, where you have similar pieces of employment legislation around the world, which are designed to protect vulnerable workers, it's not surprising that the courts are consistently ruling in this way. And one would expect the same outcome in South Africa.
Matuka, and I mean, is this the only issue you are focusing on? Because I know you've got many other issues as well, particularly the discounted rates and all of that, and issues around connectivity, because some of your drivers have been complaining that at some point they're not connected, they're kicked out of the system without an explanation, and they're accused of this, that, and the other, that which they know little about. Or are you, for now, taking these issues step by step and focusing on one issue at a time?
Look, I think it's a challenge that has many solutions, and we need to deploy many strategies all at once in order to engage all these matters and bring them to a conclusion. I think is important, especially for the South African context, is that as much as the lawsuits in other countries are leading and setting a correct example, we need to understand the needs of our own people, our own drivers, and ensure that this lawsuit moves to serve our drivers above all else within South Africa.
Specifically, what are you worried about that you are looking for in terms of the outcome of the courts? What are your central demands here?
First and foremost, I think let me disclose that one. I'm not a lawyer, so I may have misinterpreted some of the things I've read, but some of the lawsuit findings in out of Europe and out of the US, I think that some of those the findings are very limiting, in the sense that what the court then puts forward can only be accessed by a few that have historically been in that space prior to e-hailing emerging as an industry. So I think we need to be careful not to say to everybody who then came into the space, to operators, e-hailing operators, to say, look, we'll go to court, but the findings may be limited. We need to find a solution that includes everybody. And when I say include everybody, I think what we found is that the growth of industry has the potential to accommodate new and old participants alike. The other side of me also then says, we need to understand that we as operators have funded this industry. So we need more than just to be recognized as employees. In fact, it's our money that is empowering this industry. We need decision-making ability to be able to give direction effectively. So, you know, holding the likes of Uber to account is important, but also self-actualization is very critical in this process, because billions and billions of rands have been poured into this industry from a granular level. I'm saying our parents, our siblings, families have cashed in pension funds to help one youth looking for employment opportunity to partake in this space. So all those sacrifices need to be honored beyond just being recognized as employee. We are investors, we are directors, we must take control and give direction to industry.
Richard, you know, are you on the same page with what the e-hailing association in South Africa has just articulated?
Well, I've no doubt that there are a variety of issues and concerns that drivers may have with the Uber system. Clearly, the legal action is focused on one particular aspect, which is to enable drivers to obtain employment rights and to be classified as employees, because that will enable them to claim for overtime and holiday pay, which could be significant amounts of money when you go back over 3 years and going forwards too. I mean, the point about whether drivers will be treated differently, although the system may have undergone or may undergo changes over time, essentially it remains the same in terms of the factors which will influence whether or not someone is classified as an employee or an independent contractor. That doesn't seem to have changed. So, I mean, the central purpose of the class action is to get these employment rights for the drivers, which I think is really, really important financially. And it's not about, I've heard Uber suggest that it may be some kind of attack on the the enjoyment that drivers get from working from Uber and so on. It's not about that at all. We're not questioning that Uber drivers like doing their job. What's at stake here is their entitlement to employment rights. So, you know, that is a central issue in the case. And we, you know, if people are interested in joining the class action, then we can contact our South African colleagues, Nwisa Molile, and they can discuss how they can join the class action and whether it is suitable for them, whether it is going to serve their objectives and their interests.
Now, before I go back to Batuka, Richard, I mean, what about the governments, you know, South African government, the UK government, because it seems as if the system that which was brought about by Uber and others were in conflict with the existing labor laws of these respective countries. How did that slip through the net, if you will?
Well, in fact, it's the labor laws which have enabled these cases to succeed, because the purpose of the labour law in the UK, which is the Employment Rights Act, and the employment legislation in South Africa, the Labour Relations Act, the key purpose is to give protection to vulnerable individuals who haven't got any say over their pay and working conditions because they're in a subordinate and dependent position. And those workers are entitled to this statutory protection, which the employer cannot get around, as Uber has sought to do in these cases, by getting workers to sign up to contracts which are drafted by Uber's lawyers, which seek to portray incorrectly drivers as independent contractors for whom Uber is merely an agent. In circumstances where the drivers have no role in negotiating the terms of the contract, they don't even receive a copy of the contract. And the contract which they're being asked to sign does not reflect the reality of the relationship. So the legislation, I would argue, has in fact been instrumental in ensuring that these workers in the UK and other countries so far have been protected and classified as employees.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for talking to us. We really appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Richard Mieran there, whose legal firm is linked with the legal firm here in South Africa that is participating in that legal suite that they are pursuing. Batuka, as far as South African government is concerned, do you think that perhaps they were fast asleep on this, not to realize that there could be problems that you guys are facing today?
Mr. Kotane, I tell you this, South Africa is a land of many, many fantastic laws. Our principal problem is a lack of enforcement. Mm. And I think there's also a great lack of will in ensuring these laws be enforced. I had the privilege of being at the transportation Lokhotla, where I engaged with MEC Madikizela, and he himself then went on to say, look, we must apologize to this sector for failing to act within time. The MECs of transportation, the Minister of Transportation in the Land Transportation Act have the power to intervene and set pricing. This is a problem which has been historic as to what is the pricing within industry. We don't have the right. Uber doesn't engage with us or give us a platform to determine pricing together. But our ministers and our MECs can immediately intervene and set that pricing. So, you know, I think a lawsuit, for me, the first point of legal action maybe should be pointed at our own government to say, why are you failing to use the powers at hand to protect your citizens, to protect your youth who are trying to find economic opportunity from exploitation? But if we just had to look a bit further ahead, bigger picture, Mr. Kotan, I think you and I can both agree that the world has changed and we need to adapt language that's relevant to today. So legally speaking, one will say we must seek labor rights. But as drivers, we want to have a guarantee that when I'm online for 8 hours, I will get sufficient business for me to knock off and feel satisfied with the work that I have done.
Couple of people want to engage with us. If you can just let's go to Pretoria West. Abel, good morning.
Yeah, I have two questions. The first question is, I hear them talking of Uber only. Is Bolt also involved? Are they taking Bolt to court?
Okay.
That's the first question.
Okay.
Now, the second question, when we're coming to South Africa, this e-hailing industry, there are three layers. There is the e-hailing company, there is the owner of the car, and there is the person driving that car who doesn't own that car. The owner of the car has his own interest. I'm an investor. I'm invested in this car. I can't be considered as an employee because I invested in my car in that. Then there is the driver.
I see.
My driver can be classified as an employee because he's the one working for them, but not really the owner.
Good question.
So I want to ask, whose interest are they taking to court? Is it the owner of the car's interest?
Or the driver that the has been employed. Interest. Okay, Brooke, got your point. Tahir Dipkloof Soweto, good morning.
Good morning, Tibos.
Yes, sir.
Now my point is just simple and straight. One is the issue of the leave, little holidays. I hear that point. But the issue is, why in South Africa e-hailing industry is not regulated? Because taxi industries are all regulated across the globe.
Okay.
But why specifically these two, Bolt and Uber, are not regulated in this country? That will be my first question. My second question is about the rates of Bolt and Uber, the discount that they are making to our drivers and owners. I mean, I cannot be charged 21 rand to go to Maponya, and when I reach Maponya, Bolt tell me or Uber tells me that the client must give me 4 rand. That's exploitation, according to me.
Okay,
so I'm asking for Tuka particularly.
I got you, bro. Sorry. I thought you made your point. I have to run because we are edging closer to the headlines. Tando in Florida, if you can go in quickly, please.
Okay, quick one, Tabiso. Tabiso, I just want to know, how is this lawsuit in the national interest?
How is this?
This class action in the national interest, all right? Why I ask that question is because the majority of Uber drivers in this country are Zimbabwean immigrants. So how then does this serve the people of South Africa, you know, given that the people who are benefiting from Uber currently are foreigners?
I hear you. That's Tando in Florida. How do you respond to the three calls, Mr. Mbelengwa?
Okay, the first caller who made mention of Bolt. Bolt is probably one of the most cruelest platforms that are available. They are continually exploiting and they are misleading people onto their platform. Anybody thinking of buying a vehicle and putting it on the Bolt platform, it is the worst decision you can make right now. Don't believe their advertisement. In terms of what Tahir said, it is critical that we move to regulate. Without regulation, the foreign app companies will continue to do as they please. Now, there's the other gentleman who made mention that a majority of drivers are Zimbabwean. I think ourselves as drivers, our first and foremost position is that no driver should go exploited. No African child should go exploited by foreign app companies. And we need to understand why there is a greater presence of foreign drivers within the platform. There is least likely action or legal action or potential for them to take up action with the CCMA against Uber. So this is a further platform for them to exploit the melting pot that is South Africa, that has many, many nationalities living within it, to accommodate them from all over the continent.
Yeah.
They are being exploited by the likes of Uber, and we must correctly characterize this because we don't want to be seen as a xenophobic sector, or we don't want to be seen in a negative light when it comes to this. We want to be understood that none of our brothers must go exploited.
Yeah, but there was a question as well to say, you know, when you go there, whose interests are you covering, the driver or the owner?
Look, you see, our position as association is that we want to then create relationships. We need to create a pipeline that allows for a healthy relationship with app companies, a healthy relationship with those who want to lease vehicles from vehicle owners, so that there's accountability to everybody along this value chain, right? So in terms of this class action, we haven't had the privilege to quite deeply engage with the legal firm that's leading it, and we're not too sure exactly who they intend to represent, or we're not too sure if they've actually taken the time to fully understand what the South African need is, or are they purely operating on the global assumption?
Yeah, that's a red flag for me. That's a big red flag for me then.
It's a critical red flag. You know, I haven't had any dialogues with them. And as I said, when we started the interview, what's critical is that we find a solution that's right for South African participants, or let me rather say participants within South Africa.
Yeah, but the lawsuit is being prepared, and you guys are not singing from the same hymn book. To me, as I say, a massive red flag.
Look, what do we do? You know, I can't tell them not to prepare a lawsuit, but if they want to engage us, we are here to engage. In fact, right now, when the lawyer was speaking, he said anybody interested in partaking was the first time I noticed an invitation to participate in this lawsuit.
Yeah. And you know what happens when there is no unity on such issues? What happens? Because the court may decide, and you guys may still say no, but the decision of the court does not represent us, because there are so many elements missing. So maybe you should take an initiative then and contact the law firm and say, guys, we were talking on the radio, but we have not really spoken. What's going on? Type of a thing.
No, I'll definitely do that. My mandate given to me by drivers is to ensure I engage vastly. But now that I've got somebody to approach, I'll ensure that I approach them.
Good luck. Thank you so much, man. Thanks for talking to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Power is home, man.
Thank you so much. There you go. Tuka Mbelengwa, the spokesperson of the South African E-Hailing Association. There's a big lawsuit, and a law firm in London is spearheading it with another law firm here. But they are saying, as an association, they have not really sat down to talk about it, whereas they are the same people that have got the problem. So I think for me, as I said, it's a big red flag. There is a disjuncture between them and the government. There is now a disjuncture between them and a law firm that seeks to represent their interest.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.